All right, so ready to dive into the psychology of sports referees and the weight of their decisions?
Absolutely. It's a fascinating area. I've always been intrigued by how referees manage to make these split-second calls under immense pressure, you know?
Yeah, exactly. The scrutiny they're under is incredible. Every call is potentially game-changing, and there's always someone who disagrees, right?
Oh, for sure. And it's not just the fans, it's the coaches, the players. Everyone's got an opinion. So, how do they develop the mental fortitude to handle that constant criticism?
Well, that's a big part of what we'll be unpacking today. How referees make decisions under that kind of pressure, the psychological tactics everyone uses to try and influence them. It's all connected.
It really is. I mean, think about it. A referee is essentially a human decision-making machine in a highly charged environment.
Exactly. And all those factors the Wikipedia article mentions, like information overload, decision fatigue, cognitive biases, they all come into play, sometimes all at once.
Especially with the speed of the game today, it's faster, more complex, so much to process.
Right. And the article touches on the different decision-making models, GAFER, decide. I wonder how those apply to a referee in real time.
Yeah, they're not exactly pulling out a flowchart mid-game, are they?
Probably not. It's more like tacit knowledge, intuition blended with those formal processes, I'd imagine. And then you have the emotional aspect too, the somatic marker hypothesis, for instance.
Oh, that's an interesting one. How emotions physically influence our choices, even in high-stakes situations.
Yeah, like that gut feeling a referee might get. Is it reliable? How does it interact with their rational decision-making process? So many questions.
Definitely. And then there's the whole other layer of the players and coaches trying to work the refs, right? The gamesmanship.
Oh, absolutely. That's a huge piece of this puzzle. The psychological tactics they use, consciously or not, to sway those calls. It's almost like a psychological chess match happening alongside the actual game.
It is. It's like another level of strategy. Fascinating.
So we were talking about the psychology of refereeing and how it's this intense pressure cooker of split-second decisions, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not just the speed, it's the sheer complexity of the game, all the moving parts, the rules.
And then you layer on the emotional aspect, the gut feelings, the biases. It's mind-boggling how they do it.
It really is. This whole somatic marker thing. How our emotions can actually physically influence our choices, even in these high-pressure scenarios.
Yeah, that gut feeling a ref might have. How much can they trust it? Is it intuition or is it a bias creeping in?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Because sometimes those gut feelings can be spot on, and other times.
They can be completely off, leading to a bad call. And then the emperor begins.
And that's where the mental fortitude comes in,
Yeah.
right? Being able to handle the inevitable criticism, the second guessing, the.
The psychological warfare from the players and coaches, it's like they're trying to play the ref as much as the game itself.
Oh, absolutely. The gamesmanship, the subtle and not so subtle tactics they use to try and influence those calls.
It's fascinating, almost like a psychological chess match happening alongside the actual game. I mean, think about the selective perception at play.
Oh, how so?
Well, everyone sees what they want to see, right? A fan convinced their team is being unfairly targeted will notice every call against them, but might miss the ones in their favor.
And the same goes for the players and coaches. They're hyper-focused on anything that could benefit their team, often filtering out information that doesn't support their narrative.
Exactly. And then you have things like anchoring bias, where the first piece of information they receive, maybe a bad early call, colors their perception of everything that follows.
Right. And it makes it harder for the ref to regain their trust, even if they make subsequent correct calls. It's like that first impression sticks and influences everything else.
It's a tough spot to be in, and then there's confirmation bias. If a player believes a ref is biased against them, they'll actively look for evidence to confirm that belief, even if it's not really there.
It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy almost. They see what they expect to see, which just reinforces their existing bias.
It's a vicious cycle. And don't even get me started on the pressure from the crowd. That's a whole other layer of psychological influence.
Oh, for sure. The roar of the crowd, the boos, the cheers. It's hard to imagine not being affected by that, even subconsciously.
So we were talking about all the psychological factors influencing referees, right? The pressure, the biases, the gamesmanship from players.
Yeah, it's a lot to unpack. And we haven't even touched on the influence of the crowd yet. That's a whole other beast.
It is. The noise, the energy, that could be incredibly intimidating, even for experienced refs. It's like another layer of pressure.
Totally. And it's not just the volume, it's the emotion of the crowd, the cheers, the boos. It can be contagious, you know?
Oh, absolutely. It can definitely affect how a ref perceives the game. even subconsciously. Like if the crowd is roaring for a penalty, there might be a tendency to, well, to give them what they want.
Even if it's not entirely warranted, it's human nature to be swayed by social pressure, right?
Exactly. And that's where the real challenge lies for referees, being able to block out all that external noise and focus on making the right call, regardless of the pressure.
It's like they need to develop this almost superhuman level of objectivity, which, let's face it, is incredibly difficult.
It is. It's like trying to meditate in the middle of a rock concert, and then you have the added pressure of knowing that millions of people are watching, analyzing your every move.
And ready to criticize you on social media the second you make a mistake. It's brutal.
It really is. Which makes you wonder, why would anyone want to be a ref?
Right? It's got to be a love of the game, a genuine desire to ensure fair play. Because the downsides, well, they're pretty significant.
Yeah, no kidding. The constant scrutiny, the pressure, the abuse. It takes a thick skin and a strong mind to handle all that.
It does. And I think that's something we often overlook as fans. We get so caught up in the moment in our own biases and desires that we forget there's a human being behind those calls.
A human being trying to do their best in an incredibly difficult, demanding environment. It's easy to criticize from the sidelines, but being out there in the thick of it is a whole different ballgame.
It is. And maybe, just maybe, a little more empathy and understanding from us fans wouldn't go amiss.
So, we've been talking about the intense pressure referees face, but this article really lays out the complexity of their roles, you know?
Yeah, it's not just about making calls. It's about positioning, timing, coordinating with the other officials. It's a whole orchestrated dance out there.
It is. Like, the back judge. They're not just watching the play. They're making the final call on kicks, watching for delay of game. So much going on.
And the different leagues have different setups, too. The CFL added that eighth official for helmet contact on the quarterback, remember? Just for the playoffs?
Oh, yeah. That's right. And the NFL experimented with that deep judge, trying to get better coverage downfield. It's a constantly evolving thing.
It really is. And then you have the replay official adding another layer of complexity. And in the CFL, they're not even in the stadium.
I know. In Toronto, watching on screens. That's wild. It really highlights how technology is changing the game, even for the officials.
Absolutely. And the sky judge, too. That's a pretty radical change, being able to call or overturn pass interference from above.
It is. It's like having another set of eyes, a more objective perspective. Although, I wonder if it takes away some of the, I don't know, the human element of the game?
That's a good point. It does change the dynamic. And speaking of human elements, think about the pressure on those replay officials. They have to make those calls, often in slow motion with everyone watching.
Yeah, talk about scrutiny. And it's not just the fans anymore. It's everyone on social media analyzing every frame. It's intense.
No kidding. It's a tough job being a ref at any level. This article really brought that home for me. The sheer number of rules, the different positions, the constant pressure to get it right.
It's mind-boggling. And the fact that they're mostly part-time in the NFL, that's surprising.
It is. You'd think with the amount of money in the game, they'd be full-time professionals.
Right, but I guess the argument is that the level of training and review is so intense, it doesn't really matter. Still, it's a lot to juggle.
It is. And then you have the increasing diversity in the field, too. Sarah Thomas officiating the Super Bowl, Maya Chaka, Robin DiLorenzo. That's huge.
It is. It's great to see the barriers being broken down. It shows that anyone can do this job, regardless of gender.
Exactly. It's inspiring. So I guess the takeaway here is that being a sports official is way more complex and demanding than most people realize.
Yeah.
It is. It's a constant learning process, adapting to new rules, new technology, new levels of scrutiny. It takes a special kind of person to do it.
It really does. Thanks for this insightful conversation. It's given me a whole new appreciation for the folks in stripes. Until next time.